You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Why do you think less students are choosing to study at university?
Well, because being a student isn't sexy anymore.
The Wire.
The government's potential changes to the intermediate and high school English curriculums have been raising a lot of eyebrows with teachers, academics, and people in the arts. Discussions about representation and consistency have been key points talked about in relation to this process. I talk about what we know about these changes and why they matter with the University of Auckland's Dr. Claudia Rosa. Can you talk a bit about the changes to the English curriculum?
Well, only in as much as what everyone has really seen in the media. And I think there was an interview on Radio New Zealand yesterday with the minister who said it's all coming and all will be revealed, and there will be opportunity for consultation. For the moment, what we can see is that there will be a set of recommended texts from the texts that we've seen that were mentioned in the original interview with the lead writer. It suggests quite a traditional canon, including obviously New Zealand authors as well. And the only element of prescription at the moment appears to be grammar from years 7 to 13.
Who decided on these changes?
Well, that's a very good question. It would seem that there was enormous concern, first about the degree of variability in curriculum, and I guess also built into the NCEA. So there was already a refresh, a curriculum refresh that took place throughout 2021-2022, and it was published for secondary English in March last year in 2023. And part of that brief for that refresh was the idea of nothing left to chance, and the idea of providing a curriculum that would give more clarity and more guidance to teachers because of these ongoing concerns about the level of choice and flexibility that's built into the system, built into the curriculum and built into our assessment framework. However, there was a change of government, as we know, and it appears that the refresh is not what the new government has been looking for or the new minister is looking for. And so we're now into a new rewrite, which is quite extraordinary, I think. It's quite an extraordinary state of affairs for our country to have two rewrites within such proximity of each other. But I see both rewrites as an attempt to try and deal with an issue that is caused by a certain amount of choice and flexibility in the curriculum that can play out in problematic ways, particularly for some groups of students. And so these are two attempts to try and deal with them, but each have come up with quite different solutions, although of course we don't fully know what's going to come out of the latest rewrite.
From what we know so far, how do these two different rewrites, I guess, differentiate from each other?
Well, the original refresh that came out last year, while it did have a focus on providing greater clarity for teachers and more guidance around the learning that matters, it did also have a very strong emphasis on mātauranga Māori and on the production of a local curriculum, whereas this one does not. This one seems to have a very different approach from what we can tell so far. The minister, the head of the ministerial advisory group, and the lead writer, whenever they have spoken to the media, they use the notion of a knowledge-rich curriculum. This is part of a broader international movement. And in our case, in New Zealand's case, it looks like it's going to be informed by the curriculum design coherence model, which has been developed at the University of Auckland in my faculty by my colleagues, and it would appear that this is going to be the driver or the thinking, the disciplinary thinking behind the English curriculum. So a really different focus, a really different way to approach subject English as a discipline.
You've touched on this already, but there's some concerns. It's mostly Pākehā authors represented in the new recommended texts. Are there many recommended texts which showcase other voices, or if there is or isn't, is this concerning?
Well, again, we don't know what the recommended texts are. There was a small sprinkling in a soundbite in an interview, and so we don't know. First, the issue of the lack of diversity in the writing group, I think particularly around, it's not just in terms of ethnicity, although that will be a concern for many teachers, for many people in the sector, but also it's teachers who are teaching at very high decile schools, which are really different contexts to the many other contexts in which secondary English takes place. So it does, the optics aren't that great. It does look a bit odd, but then I assume that the people were chosen because they are people who have been part of the knowledge-rich curriculum project. So that's probably a reason. But for sure, you know, it does seem a very odd group and not particularly representative of the community. In terms of the diversity of the potentially recommended texts, again, what was mentioned in the interview, you've got Whittier Hermida, Patricia Grace were mentioned, but Māori writing is more expansive than those two authors, and I'm assuming that we will expect that the recommended list will demonstrate that. But there's also a long and really important tradition of an oral Māori tradition that is actually literary, that is, has got metaphor and allusion, and it would seem to me that would need to form a really important part of an English curriculum for our country. But whether or not that's going to be there remains to be seen. I mean, we are going to have to wait to see what comes out.
Well, based on what we've discussed around which voices are represented and total control given to English teachers, weighing those kind of factors up, could some level of consistency in the English curriculum ultimately be a positive thing?
Yes, I think it could be, and I think it needs to be. And that is, it's a really complex problem, and we have had a lot of choice and flexibility built into the curriculum, built into our national qualification framework. And teachers have enjoyed a great deal of autonomy, and they don't necessarily want to give that up, and I understand that, because the context, they've got a very strong sense of the context that they're working with. However, the way it plays out can further entrench the disparities between the haves and the have-nots, basically, between particular groups of students who may be excluded from certain forms of knowledge. That's not because there are bad teachers who are bad curriculum designers sitting in bad schools or bad English departments. That's because we've got that level of choice and flexibility built into the system. So some level of consistency, I think, is deeply desirable. But hopefully teachers become a part of that conversation. I think we've now reached a moment, it's become really important for teachers to begin quite urgently a conversation about, for example, what a literary canon might look like for our country, so that they can participate and contribute to the conversation, rather than sort of having something that's going to be given to them where they might have not participated.
That was Dr. Claudia Rocha on the new English curriculum.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.